dangerous place up here. Collisions, falling stuff. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Real familiar passage. Let's start reading verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Now, Father, pretty lofty stuff here tonight. I pray you'd give us insight into it, and may you help us to apply it to our lives as well. May these things be real to us as they are real. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a whole sequence here that Paul went through, as you know. He starts in verse 1 and 2 there, knowing a man in Christ all those years ago, and whether he's in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, all that. Most folks, including me, think that probably actually happened to Paul at Lystra in Acts 14, where he's taken outside the city and stoned, and then they leave him for dead. He gets back up and apparently had gone to heaven briefly and then had to return. And so out of all that, by the time you get down to verses 6 and 7, he's talking about not only the heavenly revelation at the time, but also the revelations of the fact that he went to Arabia and received revelation from God about New Testament doctrine, all that kind of stuff. That by the time you get there, of course, he's got this thorn, verse 7, and he's prayed and said, Lord, take this thing from me. I believe it's blindness or close to it. And a blind apostle in that day was a good deal weaker than a guy that wasn't blind, right? And so you get down to verse 8 and 9, having besought the Lord thrice to remove this thing from him, he said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then towards the end of verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Get down to it. That last part had to be the toughest lesson of Paul's life, right? Here's a guy, I don't know what your impression of him is. I am sure he's not some wallflower. He is not somebody that's shy or introspective. This guy, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, right? This guy is a rising star among the Pharisees and a smart guy and so on and so forth. The Bible says once he got under a head of steam, he breathed out threatenings and slaughter. He thought nothing of going in, kicking somebody's door in, taking them to prison, compelling them to blaspheme. That is not somebody that's a quiet little monkish wallflower. All right? Says furthermore all that, I mean, he thought nothing of going into the great high priest in Jerusalem and petitioning him to allow him to go into Damascus and kick doors in there. And by the time you really get to the end of the book of Acts, I mean, even then, Paul stood before Festus and Agrippa and Caesar, for that matter. I don't read there that Paul folded up under the pressure, because Paul, I mean, he may not have been a linebacker, but Paul was a man, right? I got thinking about that, and so when you get down to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 there, my grace is sufficient for thee, God's grace. My strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. That had to have been the toughest lesson ever that Paul ever learned. I mean, past getting over the issues of his self-righteousness as a Pharisee, this must have been the next most important, hardest lesson he ever learned, and that was the lesson that a strong man must be a weak man to be strong. I got thinking about that some here this week, about some just things in general. The truth of the matter is, we look at this passage and somebody gets up and preaches it and read it and we what? We agree. We realize the theology of it's right, the doctrine of it's right. This must certainly be right. When we preach, my strength, God's strength is made perfect in weakness, we all soberly say amen and sagely nod our heads. And if Brother Johnson to New Guinea gets up, tells us about his issues with the edema in his brain, how he lacks circulation there, and you know, we feel for him and think, well, brother, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. We pray for Brother Kehoe. We think about Brother Keck, had a heart attack 2 years ago. Brother Bob's mom, who had valve surgery. Brother Havman, who had valve surgery. Think about some of our brethren who are infirmed, have issues. Maybe even think of Brother Stevens, who had a stroke. Maybe. And after we think about that and say amen and nod our heads sagely, we do everything that we can not to be weak. Right? I mean, the fact of the matter is, it is utterly contrary to your nature to do that. I'd like to talk to you about the subject tonight, when I am weak, all right? And various things to say down in the end of verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And again, as with Paul, a strong man, again, not a linebacker, but a strong man, has to be the toughest lesson anybody has to learn, whether man or woman. It is entirely, first of all, it is entirely contrary to your nature. It is entirely contradictory to your nature. There's lots of things in the Word of God that's contradictory to the old man. I'll grant you that. I mean, for you to set aside and deny the flesh, that goes against everything you want to do, right? To deny the passions, the lusts, that goes against everything that's natural to do. Amen? Inward purity, a clean heart, casting down imaginations, all those things go against everything that you want to do naturally. When we talk about inward purity and chastity, when we talk about not taking vengeance whenever you have opportunity, we talk about not being malicious when you have opportunity, we talk about not being angry and wrathful when you have opportunity, those things go against your grain really bad. But nothing goes against your grain more than the idea of being weak so you can be strong. That's the way we are. If I want to build this muscle, I'm supposed to work this muscle. And that's not necessarily the way things go in the Word of God, right? Our nature is when somebody does unto us, we do back unto them. In fact, if we can plan it right, we might be able to do unto them first. When somebody punches you, counterpunch. When somebody attacks you, counterattack hard, right? Somebody says, I want to arm wrestle you. Okay, pal. But it's never this, right? Because I'm right-handed. One of you challenged me to arm wrestling. I would never say, okay, buddy, bring it on. Unless it was a Williams girl or maybe some of the Dietz girls. I could do that because I'm not going to arm wrestle any of you guys with my weak arm, right? I am naturally right-handed. There is nothing as against your nature, contrary to your nature, is that. Why? Because weakness is defeat to us. Weakness is loss. Weakness is humiliation. Weakness is being demeaned, being debased. It's being sick. It's being out of control. Right? So there are some things here along this line. This thing is utterly contrary to the way you would do things. You're going to learn later that I believe in fortifying, you know, the weak spots and all that kind of thing in your line, filling the gap and all that. But the fact of the matter is, given opportunity, you will lean to your strengths every single time. Again, if you're going to arm wrestle, you're going to arm wrestle with your strong hand, even if you're left-handed, right? Somebody hands you a football and says, see how far you can throw this football. You never go, okay. You never throw with your weak hand. After all, you want to show off for the girls and show them how far you can throw. So you want this nice, smooth, hip-first followed by this nice, I mean, you want to show them your form. You would never go with your left hand, your weak hand anyway, first. If you're cute, pretty, and petite, ladies, the cop pulls you over, it's natural to blink. Maybe well up just a little bit, because you're good at that. Right? You're just playing to your strengths. That's the point. This strength being made perfect in weakness, this being weak to be strong, is entirely, completely against your nature. If you have an outgoing personality, you are happy to deal with people. You are happy to sit down and talk to folks, try to influence folks, try to sell folks something, that sort of thing, right? If you are a forceful personality, kind of said something about it this morning, you're likely to try to put your will over on them. After all, if you can be the alpha dog in the room, you can get things your way, if that's your strength, right? If you're not intimidated by folks, if you're courageous, you will likely use that courage, that lack of intimidation, to get what you want, to do what you need. Now, by the same token, there's something else that's true, and that is that you will veil and cover your weaknesses every single time. You will all the time cover the weakness of your left arm by putting that right arm up, right? You will throw with your strong hand no matter whether somebody hands you the ball to your left hand or not. You will veil your weakness. If you are poor in dealing with personal confrontation, if you don't like, if you are intimidated by facing off with somebody and telling them what's on your mind and defining the issue and trying to work it out face to face, I can't tell you how many people have made a mess by being intimidated by that thing, refusing to talk to somebody that can help them, talking to somebody that can't help them, and they wound up making a mess, sometimes of friendships and their family, right? You will play to your strength every time. You will try to cover your weakness every time. If you're afraid, you will do everything that you can to avoid facing the adversary if you're afraid. If you are proud, you will do everything that you can not to apologize. You will do absolutely everything possible to keep from admitting you were wrong. You will cover your weakness every single time. If you're insecure in your faith, in your, I don't know, personality or whatever, you will do everything you can to keep that insecurity from being exposed, because you will play to your strength every time. You will try to cover your weakness. Now, the Bible says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. His strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. But boy, that goes against your nature, doesn't it? I mean, people spend an entire lifetime veiling their weaknesses and playing to their strengths. I now have a still weird left hand. I'm still working on it, but I catch myself still typing. I got one finger on one letter on this side, and everything else I'm typing with the right hand, because I got a weakness on the left hand, right? You will spend a lifetime, if you're not careful, playing to your strengths and veiling your weaknesses. Now, the Lord said, look, He said, Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong, because His strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, there's a problem with that. Okay, it's entirely against your nature. Point number two. The problem with that is God has chosen the weak things. Now, I know it's a slightly different context. I understand that. I think you'll see soon enough that it's true. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know you know this passage. The problem with you pandering to your strengths all the time, if you're intelligent and orderly, you will do all that you can to pre-plan and pre-order your life so that you can pander to your strengths, right? If you are a pretty good problem solver and always seem to manage to figure out a way to get around something, you will do that your entire lifetime in order to cover a weakness. Now, the problem with that is that God hath chosen the weak things. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and go down to verse 26. We'll start there. And I know it's a slightly different context. I think you'll see that it applies well enough. For you see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. He has ordained a wisdom that is unscientific by the world's standards. The world says it is absolutely impossible to bring something from nothing. There had to have always been something there for something to come of it. And physically, by law, you would have to say that's true. But we know that things had to come from somewhere, and there was a day there was nothing. There was a day that God said, let there be, and there was. You know what that is? That is an unscientific knowledge, by the world standards anyway, right? He has ordained that kind of wisdom. He has ordained the foolishness of preaching, back in verse 21, I believe. He ordained, chose the foolishness of preaching, that is, a weak thing, that somebody would get up and shout and scream and talk, and after all, what is the talk of a man? But that's God's truth. God chose that. It's weak, but God uses it so it's strong, right? He chose the hidden wisdom in 1 Corinthians 2:7. He chose fishermen. He chose carpenters. He chose tax collectors, not scholars, to be apostles. Isn't that strange? Point is, folks, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, He chose the weak things. He chose weakness. He chose your weakness. He didn't choose your strength. Now, I'm not saying that God won't use a talent that you have. If you're a good singer, God may use your singing talent, and I hope He does, and that's good and fine. But if you put too much basis on that talent, God just might ask you to minister out of weakness instead of strength. I know lots of people that have talents that God walked past because He knew that talent caused that person to fall. He chose that person's weakness instead. It's a blessing, but it's tough, man. It goes against your nature big time. He may very well walk right past your strengths. It may very well be that He lays a hindrance to your strength to actually make you weak. Because when I am weak, then am I strong. His strength is made perfect in weakness. So the problem is, God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Now, let me mention a couple things here about what strength is. I want you to know that I do understand that God calls us to be strong. Watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong, right? We are to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to be strong in some ways. I mentioned this morning, I think, Daniel 10 is where it's found. Daniel sees this vision of this man, this God, and falls to his face on the ground. The Bible said the angel comes along, lifts him up to his knees and his palms. Now, if I'm helping somebody up, I try to help them all the way up, right? Not what the angel did. Lifted him up to his knees and his palms. He's on all fours on the ground after being on his face. Then stepped back and said, now, get up. All right? Point is, I understand without him, you can do nothing. We are, though, to resist the devil. We are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So, let me define for you for a minute, after thinking about this for a couple of days, what strength is, okay? I mean, here Paul, you wouldn't expect him to say it, but he said that when we are come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. That without were fightings, within were fears. Paul admitted that within him there was fear that would have blocked him from doing some stuff. My point is, your strength is in the Lord. Now, you know that. Everybody goes, amen. Yeah. I know you know that. I know that theologically in your encyclopedia of knowledge, you know that. I'm telling you right now, your flesh will do everything possible to keep away from being placed in that position and it being true of you. Like I said, I had a stroke, and I should be living proof that strength is made perfect in weakness. I find myself all the time trying to avoid it. Okay? Now look, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your strength is in Him. Okay? Yes, if you get knocked down, yes, get back up. But give Him the credit and depend on Him to help you get back up. Don't lay back and be passive. Don't fall down and stay on your face and never move again until somebody comes and picks you up. But at the same time, know that your strength is in the power of His might. Another one. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right? Your strength is in His grace. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Right? Now, this is not grace in the sense that I take liberty to live like I want to and know that I'm still in grace. That's not what this is. This is you knowing when it comes to things that matter, you are weak, and it will take God's grace and power to get you through. Right? Again, I mean, if there's a part of this from 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, Sunday school, where you add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so on. You add it. I mean, it's your responsibility to go forward and to grow. If you don't grow, it's not God's problem. It's your problem. Okay? At the same time, you are weak and you have to be strong in the Lord and strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Okay? I grant you, you have a part in strengthening the inner man. But it is His Spirit that strengthens the inner man. Right? Yes, go to the Bible, read the Bible. Study the Bible. You'll get strength from that. You get strength from preaching. You get strength from faith. Yes, that's true. It is still God's strength, and you are still weak. You will not be a warrior for Jesus Christ and be strong the way we think of strength. We used to think of training, being buff, being a bodybuilder, being powerful, being in shape, etc., etc. Got news for you. It's not like that. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in Him. Right? Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is His strength. He does it. He imparts it. When you activate it and you get up and walk, when you've been down and not doing anything, it is still His strength. Right? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Here, you're being strengthened with all might to do what? To be patient. Oh boy. To be long-suffering. And joyful about it. Well, that's not what Rocky had in mind. Da-da-da! No. That's not what it is. It's you being strengthened in things that you wouldn't strengthen. Right. If you're going to strengthen something, the chances are you're probably going to strengthen something that's already strong. It's amazing. I go to the gym, and these guys with already big biceps are working their biceps like crazy. Tendency is for you to strengthen what's already strong. It goes against what we're used to. your strength is made perfect. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay? You're going to fight that, if you're not careful, with every ounce of your being. Because you don't want to be weak. So, He makes you weak. There's something else I wanted you to see. So, strength is in Him. All right? It's not you spiritually bodybuilding. Strength is in Him. You know you're weak. You need something in that weakness. You get grace from Him. You get power from Him. Right? You get up because He helps you get up. I'm not saying you go passive and don't do anything. I am saying His strength is made perfect in your weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, there are some things that that means, and then I'll be done. First of all, that means, this all means, that God is going to frustrate your natural tendencies. All right? I mean, here's Paul praying, Lord, three times. I would be a much better apostle to the Gentiles if I could see. I'm walking everywhere I go. I'm stumbling over rocks and stuff. I don't want to hold this big old hairy guy by the hand. I'd be better off if I could see to read and to write. And God says, I don't think so. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He is going to frustrate your natural tendencies. He is going to hogtie some of your strengths. I bet some of you are frustrated because there's something that you're really good at. And God's not using that. Like I said, I'm not beyond thinking that if you have a talent for music or a talent for this, that, or the, a gift, that God will use it. Maybe you are eloquent of tongue. Okay, I hope God uses your tongue. Chances are that He is going to not take that which you are best at. He's going to take that which you are not very good at, and He's going to use that weakness. The fact is, He probably at some level or another is going to hogtie your strength. I never thought that at 49 and 50 years old that I would be having to take regular naps just to get by. I mean, that's for old folks. You'd have to be at least 55 to have to do that. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I would need to be 70 years old to really need to take a nap every day. Brother, if I don't take a nap, I am a babbling idiot. Okay, I never would have thought it. The fact of the matter is, sometimes God will hogtie your strength. He's going to frustrate sometimes what you're best at because He can't use what you're best at. He uses your weakness. If you are very intelligent, He may well call you to do something foolish, like preach the gospel. Okay? If your strength is a strong personality, you can walk into a room, you can light up the room. When you walk in, people notice you. You can sway people with your arguments. You have a gregarious, outgoing personality. You can talk an Eskimo into buying a refrigerator. Chances are, somewhere along the way, God's going to hogtie that strength and use something else in you that He gets credit for and not you. If you're excellent in planning, if you're just a natural problem solver, chances are He's going to put you in a situation where you can't solve the problem. And you're going to have to pray instead and exercise patience and long-suffering and wait for God to do something. And you keep wanting to engineer it yourself, manipulate it yourself. And the more you manipulate, the more you engineer, the worse things get. I like the passage in Isaiah. It's 41:13. You don't have to go there. But God tells Israel, He said, I will take thee by thy right hand and lead thee. Well, I don't like that. If God is holding my right hand, He's holding my strong hand. If He was holding my left hand, I could be slapping people upside the head with my right hand. But He's got my right hand. I'm no good with my left hand. Right? I'm not as strong with my left hand. If I have to punch you in the nose. I'm going to maneuver to get the right end, not the left, because the left is nowhere near as good. But I will hold thee by that. He's going to bind things you are naturally good at, that which you want to be used, and He may very well require you to use the weak. God will frustrate your natural tendencies. It means that God will highlight your weaknesses. Here is Moses. And Moses is not eloquent. Moses cannot speak. He stutters. So God called Moses to speak. Here is Paul. He could hardly see. In fact, God imparted the darkness to him so he could use his weakness instead of his strength. Here is Thomas, doubting Thomas. Thomas has a problem believing. So God chose Thomas. He called no scholars. He called fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors, that sort of thing, right? You see, that means that God will highlight your weaknesses. He may not use your talent or your gift. He often exposes your weaknesses. Again, you don't like facing off with people and dealing with problems head on. So He's going to force you to do that or make a royal mess of your family or your friendships. Right? Again, I can't tell you how many people I know that refuse to go somewhere here, there, or there, or somewhere where they're going to get good, solid counsel. They would rather talk around back channels, call somebody on the phone, ambush them with their problems, launch a bunch of stuff on them, whereas if they come and sit down in there, they may have opportunity to hear what they could actually do about their issue rather than just dumping all the manure on somebody who has no answers for them at the moment. Right? I don't know how many times folks could have come and gotten help if they weren't so preoccupied with avoiding dealing face-to-face with things. Again, maybe it's people skills with you. Maybe you consider that you don't have any. If you're not careful with that, you will spend your lifetime with your strengths not dealing with people. Sometimes I hate the Internet. The Internet breeds Internet warriors where, you know, somebody that is scared to sit down and talk to a sinner face-to-face will be a mighty writer for God on the Internet and wax eloquent in wisdom and power and knowledge. And they have the answers, and they have the plan, and they know how to raise kids, and they know how to run a home, but they don't. And they won't deal with it in person. They deal with it another way. You will, if you're not careful, left to yourself, you will pander entirely to your strengths and never face your weaknesses at all. And it's the weaknesses that God exposes, forces you to use them, so He can use them because His strength is made perfect in weakness, right? He will force you to use those things. Running won't help. He's going to place you in a position where you have to use your weaknesses. He may not use your strengths at all. Now, there's something else that you learn from this. This not only means that He will frustrate your natural tendencies, not only means that He will highlight and illuminate your weaknesses, expose your weaknesses, it also means that your comfort zone will be mercilessly assaulted. You know what you're comfortable doing? What you're good at. Right? I mean, if I asked some of you to come lead singing, you would faint dead away in the aisle because you have no confidence about that thing at all, right? I'm not saying that God's going to make you a song leader. I'm just saying, left to yourselves, left to ourselves, we will pander to our strengths, our natural gifts and talents every single time and demand that God uses those talents, And I got news for you. You have no ground to demand anything. The fact of the matter is, God may very well choose the thing that you are worst at and force you to use that. I want you to know your comfort zone will be mercilessly assaulted. You're going to be asked to do things you do not want to do. You do not want a door knock. You do not want to holler at somebody on the street. You do not want to face off with somebody on their own doorstep and go toe-to-toe on Bible stuff. You do not. You just do not. You do not put yourself in a position to have to sit down across a coffee table or a desk and face up to certain problems personally like this. Okay? You do not. You will do anything to avoid that. So God put you in a place where you can't avoid it. He will mercilessly assault your comfort zone. That's what church is really all about. If this is a rule and God's strength is made perfect in weakness, then what this whole thing is about, besides giving glory to Christ, is the idea of putting you in a position where you will eventually willingly see that God wants to push you outside of that which you are comfortable in, using your strengths, and force you to use those weaknesses to glorify God. All right, there's something else here. You know what else it means? It means that you can kiss self-affirmation goodbye. You know, people talk about being self-confident and having self-esteem and being self-affirmed. It's a big deal these days. Has been for years now. Fact of the matter is, based on your self-affirmation, your self-esteem, your self-confidence is based on what? What you're good at. What you're strong in. I mean, I personally, it's been a long time since I was nervous about going to a door stop and knocking on the door and asking somebody if they have a place to go to church or if they have ever been born again. I'm just, you know, I don't get butterflies about that, okay? Some of you, you're not that way. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, that you do things that you're confident in, okay? Again, I don't think twice about leading singing. I really don't think twice about having to get up and preach to people, okay? But tell you what God did. God put me in a position that if I don't get a nap in the afternoon, I stand up and go, bleddle, 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 bleddle. And I don't like the feeling of that weakness. I don't enjoy that at all. Your self-confidence, your self-affirmation, as the world says it, is based on what you're confident in. Now, what God's going to do is put you in a position where He's not going to use the things you're best at. He's often going to use something that you're not very good at. He's going to use your weakness. That way He gets the glory when it happens. His strength is made perfect in weakness. One last thing this means. It means that it is really, really easy to faint. Be not weary in well-doing, but for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If God refuses to use the three things that you consider yourself best at and forces you to do something that you have no confidence in whatsoever, it is really easy to say, I ain't interested. Boy, there are people that do that with visitation, don't they? They don't like, they are indeed afraid of knocking a door and talking to somebody cold turkey. And so they basically refuse to do it. And in refusing, what is that? You're not doing something you should. Right? How's your prayer life? I bet there are folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that have a problem with praying, say, 5 out of 7 days of every week. That is more than just, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen. Okay, I mean beyond that. All right? Well, I'm just telling you, You may do something else for the Lord that you're good at. Maybe you're good at making money. Maybe you give big bucks. Hope it's true. Give more. But you're good at that, okay? But when it comes to prayer, when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to that kind of thing, you're weak at it. You know you're weak at it. You don't like it. Fact is, you're intimidated by it. You're scared of it. And so you don't do it. What did you do? You fainted in that thing. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. This makes it really easy to faint in these things. In the things you're weak in, it's easy to faint. Okay? It also means it's really easy to resist God in those things. God wants to take your strengths and have you set the strength aside, even though you think God should use the strength. And God says, no, instead, I want to use this other thing that you're not good at all. And you have no confidence in. You're scared of it. You're intimidated by it. Right? It's easy to resist God on that thing. Right? I don't want to do it. I don't have to do it. No, you don't have to. You also don't want to go to a hospital because you didn't. You also don't want to wind up at a funeral home somewhere along the way knowing it was because you didn't do this thing. Right? It means that it's really easy to get off the potter's wheel. The Lord puts you on a potter's wheel in Jeremiah and makes you a vessel that He wants according to His pleasure, not according to what you want. You may want to be a Ming Dynasty vase. He may need something to carry rotten potatoes in. Okay? You don't get to choose what kind of vessel you're going to be. You're not going to get to choose what the Lord puts in you to use. It makes it really easy to get off the potter's wheel because you would prefer, you've always wanted to do this. I mean, you've always wanted to use your talent to be a famous singer. Well, now you're saved, so you can use this talent to be a famous gospel singer. And maybe you'll even make a little money along the way, get some notoriety, and maybe one day you can go full-time on the road, singing at churches on Sunday, funerals and stuff. Ooh. Guess what? You don't get to choose that. It's really easy when God says, no, you know what? You do sing pretty good and we'll look forward to hearing you in the congregation at church. But I'd like you to be more involved in the prison ministry. I'd like you to go and help a couple of the brothers at a nursing home deal with old people who can't hear your wonderful voice. But that's the truth. Folks, if this thing is true, then one of the most frustrating things about your Christian life is that you have ideas about what you could do, should do, what God should use, would use. And God says, no, I don't want to use that. I want to use something else that you don't want used. It's not going to give you nearly as much glory, and you're uncomfortable with it. You lack confidence in it. You're intimidated by it, but I want to use that. How many preachers do I know that were petrified to get up and preach? How many missionaries do I know that grew up in privileged conditions and were petrified at one point of going somewhere like New Guinea and eating bugs or some such thing? How many do I know? Somewhere along the way, God got in there and said, I don't want to use your money. I want to use you somewhere you've never been, in a place where you're really uncomfortable. I want to use your weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Let's pray. Father, pray you'll give us light under ourselves here tonight. Lots said, a lot could be said probably else besides what was. But I pray, Father, that You'd help us not make the mistake of thinking You are committed to just using our gifts and talents, although You very well may, and we ought to give You all those things to use. It may be that there's something grander, and that You want to use something we're not good at, that we're not excited about using, and something indeed that we do not want to be used. We do not want to face the battle of being exposed as weak in this thing. Help us, Lord, we pray, and give us insight again into ourselves. Help us be honest with ourselves. I pray You'd deal with our hearts here in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a few minutes. We all entered the Christian life with preconceptions and how things would go. I entered the ministry that way, and the Lord's been very good to me in the ministry. I'm glad for that. But it really didn't go the way I thought it would. And I know that's the case with many of you. You have idealistic notions, even after long years. As a Christian sometimes, even in the battle, you have certain idealistic ideas about how things will be, what is usable in you and what is not, what you are called to be, and what you're unwilling to be. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. He's going to pick the weak thing. He's going to frustrate at some level that which you are good at and strong in. He's going to illuminate that which you're weak in and require you to use that. Let's look this way, stand and open to 333. 333.
Thank you. being here today. It's been a good day. Prayer for folks that are gone and so on and so forth. I'll get them back. Think about Ian, Julie, some of these other folks that are going through stuff. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask your oversight in lives that have a lot going on in them right now, and their folks are facing tremendous challenges, and we pray that you'd grant them victory and peace. Father, we ask your blessing on our week to come. A lot of plans coming down the pike here. School's back in, of course. We have Thanksgiving coming up, a revival coming up. Ian's facing challenges, Lord. Think about Julie Perlinger as well. And that's not even all of folks that are going through stuff. Think again about Rebecca. I'm grateful for her gratitude for our prayers and all. Pray you grant her victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.